Let's get back into this, okay? This is not easy to define, okay? It's not. And in fact, it took me a few days to figure out. This is like, sometimes you'll have a sugya where I'll explain the fact in a second, Tamir, but I mean, sometimes you have a sugya where there's a lot of variables, and I keep probing for the weak spot, so to speak, finding a point where you can, invade, and then sometimes you have to recognize that when you're banging your head up against a wall to try to define something, it's not working, you got to reposition yourself and come from a different perspective. This is a good example, as you'll see in one of the spars I worked out, which I'm sure you guys worked out as well. You'll see a situation where I'm altering a certain premise that everyone would probably take to show how it would work out. The one person who's not going to like it is going to be Mati, because he's going to try to prove that you could learn out a different way. I'm being vague, but I already know the way your mind works. All right, so I can see that happening. It's not a bad thing, all right? When it comes to this kind of spara, one more time, let's review the facts, okay? Tell me, I'll do my best to... All right, I'll do my best. But anyway, all right. So we know... First of all, I'm going to divide this up into two parts, okay? The way I approach it, okay? The way I see it, and you'll see why I'm saying it this way. The way I see it is that Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, in my opinion, is a very technical Machlokas. It's not a very conceptual Machlokas. It's a technical Machlokas. Because as I proved yesterday, ultimately, at the end of the day, they don't really disagree on the positions, right? They just disagree on how you get to the positions, in my opinion, okay?
Wait, no, you disagree with my disagreement?
The Maskana, at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, in Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, what's the difference? There is no difference. Rashi would agree that Rosh Shimon would hold its Aser, even though he doesn't mention it.
How do you know
that? How could that not be?
Maybe he says not to.
But okay, you could say that, but then you're introducing
by
the fact.
By Bickley?
What?
Is he talking about by Bickley?
Yeah, by the Pamuts.
We have a straight up.
But Rashi doesn't mention anything about the Pamut. When it comes
to
Rosh Shimon.
If Bickley, then you agree with
that. For sure, that's a Tosos. Tosos put that fact in there. I agree. Okay. I agree. So I'm saying I don't see why you would assume that's not the case.
You can't assume it's not the case.
Yeah. Well, you could assume a Pamut's a different kind of Kli. Tosos.
They're still not disagreeing. You don't know.
What?
You could just say you don't know.
You're right, but there's no reason to assume. There's no reason to assume that. Right, I would never make that assumption. To make it simple, because you're introducing a variable that's just going to make things more complicated.
But he's not introducing
what?
Don't introduce the variable.
I know, but at the end of the day, what does Rashi hold that Rosh Shimon holds by a pamut? What would you say? Kona Rashi. Yeah. What does Rosh Shimon hold?
You could see it on that.
It's mutter.
No, it's not quantum. Either it's mutter or usser. Right, I would say he holds it. No, I would say
he holds a small pamut as a small clit.
Or he holds a pamut.
It's not a big clit. It's a big clit.
Why?
Because in this case it would be a big clit. Then no. He could just learn Reb Shimon.
No, at the conclusion of the Gemara is what?
Why wouldn't he learn Reb Shimon if he held his big clit?
Okay, the Gemara before. Okay, yeah. Let's get this out of the way. The Gemara before says it depends on the size of the clit.
Right.
Okay, so if a pamut is like a small candle, then what would Rosh Shimon hold after it goes out? It's more than a move. If Rosh Shimon holds a pamut like a big candle, Dumya Dikara, then what would he hold? If it goes out, he can't move it. So what's Rashi going to say? He can't say that Rosh Shimon would hold that a pamut's a different kind of kli. Either the pamut is like a menorah, a ner, or the pamut is like a ka'ara. You understand? It can't. You understand? So it's going to be one of the two. So why would he argue? He's not arguing on Tosfos insofar as what Rosh Shimon would hold. That can't be. It's a question of what the pamut is. You understand? So I don't know why you'd assume the pamut isn't of like the kara, like Tosos does. You could. You don't. Does it, but it's irrelevant. At the end of the day, they're not arguing about what Rosh Shimon holds. You understand? The only argument would be is what the pamut is. You understand? Right? Okay. So that's why I'm saying, in my opinion, since at the end of the day, all the positions line up, it would appear that they agree with what Rosh Shimon would hold, depending on what the pamut is. They would agree what the mayor holds and they agree what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Right? So that's a more technical issue. That's why the conceptual issue is here. So let's just discuss the conceptual issue. All right? If you didn't follow what I just said, don't worry, we'll get back to it. The conceptual issue, which I've said a million times. Okay? And Rabbi Yehuda, right, we have two versions. Initially, Rabbi Yehuda held muksa machmas mias, that it's muksa, it's only when it's disgusting that it's muksa. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yehuda holds both. Excuse me, or. Meaning he says, it's either in the case of Mias or a case of Isser. Okay, either it's disgusting or Isser. Both apply. Rameir's Hadamina, the way Tosos brings it out, is that maybe you think that Bachas can only merge when you have both. You have both in the Kli. It needs to be both disgusting and Isser. And then he goes back to Isser. Of the two, which one is easier to approach? Interesting. Okay. A very good step also. So Yaakov's presenting is that forget what they are specifically. Let's use any Brisker term you want. Halachic, practical, chafsa, gavra, I don't care. But the point is that together, right, what he's saying, these two are the primary, are components of machlis, right? Meaning what?
Chafsa and gavra.
Meaning what? Think about it. In other words, what's the problem here? What kind of muksa do we have here? Let's go back to Rav Shimon, okay? Rav Shimon doesn't like machlis. Why not?
He wants an externality doesn't give an object.
Right. So now with that in mind, now you can understand what Rameir's Havmina might be. What's Rameir's Havmina?
That the entirety of external objects must be a certain way to get an object.
Because what does that do to the object?
Makes it
more than muksa. He doesn't want it to be muksa.
Not an object. Makes it not an object.
Okay. Meaning it's what is it like then?
A piece of metal.
Okay. Good. There's something called muksa. All right, and there's something called muksa machmas. Okay, muksa means what? Muksa means, let's say, klishim lachta le'isser. It's a simple case, right? A power drill that I pick up to drill a hole in the wall. Okay? That is, by definition, intrinsically muksa. But we have a scenario here where there's nothing intrinsic in the thing. Rather, some external phenomenon comes along and now it's giving us a muksa status. But what's the strength of the muksa status? To the point where, even though right now, this object is not doing anything bad, i.e. no feces on it, or it's, or the candle went out, and yet I still can't move it. That's a pretty bold assumption. That's a very courageous... What? So what he's saying is that in order to be machmas, you need to remove it from the entire world of Tiltal.
Okay? Why? Is our entire world of Tiltal?
Again, the idea is not... Everyone would agree, right? In other words, if... when the candle, let's use the candle being lit, it's a better case. When the candle's lit, I can't move it, right? Can't move the candle when it's lit. But the question is, why should that reality still exist when the candle goes out? That's a big conceptual move to make. I made it sound like it was easy to make, but it's not. Tosfos is letting you know, Rameir's Havmina, he's saying that machmas is a different kind of, it's a weaker type of muksa. So in a sense, just to be descriptive, to compensate for the weakness, he requires that the whole kli be removed from the world of Tiltal. That you render it into what? Into, it's not even a kli tashrish anymore, like a rock.
But I don't understand that the isser...
If once the candle's lit, will I move it? Can I move it?
No.
Okay, that's machmas isser, right? If there's feces all over the thing, will I move it? No. So now what do I have now? I have both of them together. Tell me, what about the kli? Remember, because it's got to be something that allows for it to express for the entire Shabbos. You understand?
What's the difference between Isser and Miyasa? Both of them result in you not being able to move it.
Oh, okay, so what's the difference between them? Okay, good.
But he was saying one's a physical thing, one's a loving thing.
Oh, okay, we'll define that in a second, okay? But before we define that, first I want you to understand the point I'm trying to build here. In other words, the Havmin and Ramey are saying that, what do both do? So both remove, you need to remove the Kli from the world of Tashmish. Utility from any type of Tiltal. Right? It doesn't exist in that realm anymore. Okay? And what's it, before we get to what the difference is, what's his maskana? Right?
Only Isser.
Which we'll explain why. Okay? But what Tosfos is trying to tell you is that it's because of the conceptual weakness of machmas that he required both. Now, what is the difference between Mias and Isser? This is where things get difficult. How would you define the difference? But I want to make sure you understand the first step I'm trying to make. The first step I'm trying to make is what's the Havmina Meir? That he requires a complete removal from the world of Tashmish.
I'm sorry.
And that's those two components together produce removal. You gotta understand what he's suggesting. He's saying in order for this to work, this Kli has to be like a rock. Right? For all of Shabbos. So how are you gonna do that? When it's lit, I can understand. When it's Mias, I can understand. But when those factors go away, why would you tell me there's a problem moving the Kli?
So I just argue that when both those factors go away.
In order for you to create a reality that this Kli is something that will retain its status of Isser Tiltal throughout the whole Shabbos, it must be, I try to explain it definitively, but I'm being descriptive, the strongest expression possible of removal from Tashmish. You want that imprint, so to speak. You want the imprint in the Kli. And you want the imprint of this to be, I cannot move it on Shabbos anymore, even when the variables change, when the externalities are removed, it must be that it was the strongest possible removal from Tashmish you can imagine at its onset. Yeah. The question now is, what's the difference between Mias and Isser? Right? That's what you're going to have to answer now. In other words, if you're going to create a universality where now the object is removed from the world of Tashmish, You must now show me how Iser targets half, so to speak, and Mias the other half. Or
well, Mias targets the...
Show you now. I'm going to show you where I disagree with Yaakov's. He had the right move, but I don't agree with his assessment because we have to find something pre-halacha. Okay, it's not to do with halacha. We have to find something that, in the usage of the kli itself, right? In the kli, there's two normative issues or components. All right. So we're saying mias is what? Mias, I agree with Ariel. Mias is what?
Physical.
Not. Don't say physical.
Is it manifest?
Causes the kli not to be used.
Existence.
Okay, one second. Right, so now when you look at this kli right now, right, what do you say about the kli? This kli now is, in your framework, what is the kli?
Unusable.
Like, use as far as we said, but right, it's an unusable kli. There's the mias, the feces on this kli makes this kli now unusable. It's defined now as a kli shal mias. In other words, what are the two components? One is, there's two, and this is, I think, this is a universal idea in Kalim, but one is insofar as the chesa is defined as one that I'm not going to use anymore. That's mias. But then there's an isser on the gavra, right? I can't move the ner shel isser, right? It hasn't changed the kli. The kli can't be changed because, like as Ariel said, it's just a lit candle, right? But it's an isser on me to move it. I can't move. The isser is chal on me, right? It's not chal. It's not that he relates the kli differently. It's that, like Mati's putting it very well. The emphasis is, what happens now that the thing's been lit? It now affects me. You know what I mean? It's like it's almost like coming from the near to me. And now I'm ushered to move it. Right. Seriously. Seriously. So now, what does that show you? So that what Rameir is telling you is that when both those components exist, when both the chefza is one that's defined as no longer unusable, and
the
when the right the maisa via the gavra, the maisa cannot be done. Oh. Guess what? What do you now have? You have a kli that has no identification utility in it. No, because think about it. Let's say it was mias, but it wasn't machmas iser. So what would you say? Well, yeah, insofar as the kli is concerned, right? The kli is one that I'm not going to move. But doesn't mean that I can't do a maisa of movement. You understand? And then when it comes to the nair, right? The nair, I can't do a myself shall movement. That doesn't mean the kli is a kli shall iser, right? So what you're doing is when you put in the din, the fact that gavra can't do the maisa tiltal, along with the fact that the kli is defined as one removed from shimush, guess what? You have a rock. You have something that has no identity of kli shall tashmish and shabbos. The mayor holds, you need both disgusting and iser. Why? Because what does that do? It removes the kli from the realm of tashmish, of utility. It's no longer, it's a rock. That's what it is to you. Kamash Malan, you only need one. But you can't just say that, okay? That comes the next move. So what are we left with now? Well, we're left with Rameir holding what? Iser, right? And Rav Yehuda holding, let's stop for a second. Now let's go with the Rav Yehuda business of one versus both, okay? Let's take that up. What's the challenge in defining Rav Yehuda versus Rav Meir? Okay, now this is where my brain position now. Okay, now I'm.
I think Rav Yehuda makes good sense.
Makes good sense. That's the best kind of sense to have. Good sense.
Well sense.
Okay, so one second. Hold on. Before you explain why you think he makes sense, first I want to understand. In other words, what's the machlo? If you hold, Rav Yehuda holds both, and Rav Meir holds one. What's the just factually? What are they arguing on? Rav Yehuda holds both. Rav Meir holds one. If you hold that, Rav Yehuda holds. Iser or Mias, and Rameir holds what? Only Iser. So on the surface, how would you define such a machlokas? What would your mind run to? What are they arguing on?
If Mias is part of the...
Okay, right? Okay. So, it's very tempting to go down that road. The problem is, I don't think you're going to be able to come up with a svara. You have to come up with some quality in Mias that somehow... Right, or something like that, which is going to become very strange because Rav Yehuda holds they're both, right? Which you have to maintain he holds they're both there. Whereas what's Rameir going to say? I don't hold to that one. So what kind of machlokas is that? I'm not saying you can't. I just, in my opinion, it's a challenge to approach a machlokas in such a manner. You understand? Okay? I would not approach it in such a way. I had a different way of approaching it. But okay, but I knew this is where you're going to fight me on. Of course, you said, no, I can show you as machlokas in this. I was making one good point. A couple good points. I was saying that But let's just say what the machlokas. I don't think the machlokas is about... No, that's what I do think it is about. I don't think the machlokas is about mias versus not mias. That's
not...
I think the machlokas is how you look at machmas. Okay? I know. I'm just... I'm saying, but I put it in a much clearer way.
Right.
In other words, I think the machlokus is about machmas itself. It's not about, if you go down the road of one guy holds yes mias, one guy holds no mias, in my opinion, that's a very difficult road to take. Because what feature are you going to be able to isolate to tell you why one would say yes and one would say no? But what if it's all along, the machlokus really is about machmas? That's what they're arguing about, right?
Well, then you have to bring Rav Shimon into it.
No, you don't. Rav Shimon doesn't hold a machmas.
Yeah.
No, Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir both agree with machmas.
Yeah, you need...
No,
in here to compare machmas versus non-machmas.
Wait,
I'll answer that. Okay.
Why don't you put it as a defining point?
So Ariel's saying this. Ariel's saying that when it comes to Rameyer, right? What Ariel's trying to say, I think, is that what happens is that like this. In order for what does machmas mean? Machmas means that, and you're right. I agree with you. It has to do with the nature of tilfel itself. But machmas means what? Machmas means that I have to do an action. Right? I do an action before Shabbos that precludes the utility of the clay. Okay, that's what machmas means. Machmas means what?
You're saying machmas means he has to.
But there's no mias.
There's no mias.
So
there's no action. By who?
In his havamina,
the havamina said this. Let me explain the havamina. What's kind of romance? Okay, I'm not. Because this, I tried to approach it the way I want to, but you forced me back to approach it the way you want me to, which is fine. In Rameir's havamina, let's go back to Rameir's havamina. In his havamina, he's saying machmas is a weird thing, right? What kind of is a mukas on machmas? Therefore, he requires what? He requires that the entire kli be removed from usage.
And at this point...
Oh, wait a second. Just let me finish, okay?
Remove the entire field of cleanness.
Of cleanness, right? There's no cleanness attached to this thing anymore. Cleanest, okay? Cleanest. That's Rav Meir's Havamina.
Right.
Yeah. Rav Meir's Maskana said, no. What's machmas mean? What machmas means that... So this is what he's saying in the Maskana. He's saying a different idea of machmas, right? Different idea than the Havamina. He's saying, what's machmas mean? Machmas means that I must do a Maisa to the Kli to remove it from utility. Okay? That is what machmas means. So therefore, but the problem with mias is, what's mias? Mias is what? Mias happens. There's a case of mias.
No, I
lit the candle. And through lighting the candle, what have I now done? I've now done an action to preclude the utility from the clay. Because I can't move it on Shabbos now. Which can't say by mias. Mias is no action by mias. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Because if you think about the idea of machmas, right? It's muksa machmas something. Okay? What does muksa mean? Come on, don't forget. Set aside. And you will notice that in general, muksa always means that I did something to set the object aside. It's an action of setting aside. It's the setting aside of the thing, right? So if you're going to create a new idea of muksa machmas, he's saying, therefore it requires an action that removes it from the realm of utility, right? That's the key thing. It's the action. That's the key. And then Rav Yehuda becomes very simple. What does Rav Yehuda hold?
Or what do you say? It's not
that. I'm saying that happens to how it works out. What I'm saying is that in order for a machmas to emerge, right? For a machmas to emerge, a muksa machmas, it must be done via an action that takes this kli and removes it from normative utility. The action produces that reality.
Is it an action or is it the removal from normative utility that gives it a machmas?
Well, but then I'm trying to distinguish between mias. Mias comes about on its own.
Or mias is not a removal from normative utility. The us or mias is not.
If you want to answer Rav Yehuda, now you can. It's okay to do this, okay? We developed two concepts by Rav Meir's Havamina. I think Rav Yehuda agrees with the conceptual breakdown of. Everyone agrees with the conceptual breakdown of mias and Isser. Okay, but what does Rav Yehuda hold? This is how you avoid the problem of machlokas and mias. It's not machlokas and mias. It's machlokas and machmas. So, according to Rav Meir, machmas requires a maisa to preclude the kli from utility. According to Rav Yehuda, what is machmas? Machmas emerges when? Yeah.
When the kli is unusable. When
the
kli is...
When
a kli is... In other words,
he holds... Kli.
Okay, and that... We'll say, but not like Rav Meir, though.
Right.
Not... Rav Meir holds, it's when the kli is removed from kliness. Completely.
But it's entirely, no, it's when, right. when there's any departure from.
Ah, okay. In other words, so let's go back to the original svar, right? It's, when is machmas triggered? It's triggered by the existence of any impediment to the use of the kli. Not that the kli is removed from kliness, but just the impediment per se is what produces machmas. And guess what? What are the two kinds of impediments that exist? One is a chafsa one, and one is we'll call it a gabra or maisa one, right? That's Rav Yehuda, okay? That's how you define Rav Yehuda, yeah.